Good morning to you and happy new year 2012. Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry. There is no doubt about it, and there's no way around it. 2012 is an election year, and we are now in the thick of it after months of sorting through the candidates. Iowans caucus tomorrow evening to decide on a Republican presidential nominee to go up against Barack Obama. We want to go to the ground in Iowa with Anna Sale, political reporter for It's a Free Country. That's WNYC's interactive politics site. She's in. Anna, you're in Des Moines?
I'm in Sioux City.
Sioux City. Good morning. Anna, good morning. There was a last Des Moines Register poll, I guess, that came out yesterday. This is the last poll, right, before caucus goers head out to those fire stations and schools and community centers. What's the horse race look like?
Well, it looks like it's Mitt Romney and Ron Paul who are at the top, and Rick Santorum has had a last-minute surge. This poll came out, I don't know about you, Todd, but it was New Year's Eve night, so that's what I was doing, was looking at this poll during New Year's Eve night instead of toasting the new year. But it looks like Rick Santorum is heading into the caucus with momentum, and so if he's able to coalesce the social conservative support here in Iowa and be that socially conservative alternative to Mitt Romney, then that's a surprise. For many months he's been hanging out in the bottom of the polls, but then he's got to handle New Hampshire and South Carolina, where he's still at the bottom of the pack.
Is that what Rick Santorum has been doing, essentially, is vacuuming up all of the non-Romney support? Some of it was with Bachman, some of it was with Perry. It's been other places around the field. Has Rick Santorum basically managed to scoop so much of that up? Does that explain why Michelle Bachman also is in last place?
Well, Rick Santorum has been, betting on Iowa all along. He has been in this state. You know, this is where he has campaigned. And Michelle Bachman is at the bottom of the pack now. She, of course, won the Ames-Iowa straw poll, and she's not in the lead anymore. And Rick Perry's hanging in there. He's right under Newt Gingrich in the poll that came out over the weekend, and he's all over the airwaves. But that support just collapses again after you leave Iowa when you look at the polls.
And we'll have to look beyond Iowa, which we will do with you, Anna Sale, because we can't forget that Rick Perry does have money and does have organization and is popular in the South. But that's coming up. So, Anna Sale, thanks from there in Sioux City. Stay warm. And we'll be catching up with you, of course, as the caucuses continue. Thanks a lot, Anna.
Thank you, Todd.
I'm going to turn now to Glenn Thrush, my pal and senior White House writer at Politico, for a broader picture on the presidential elections, both in Iowa. But hey, don't forget about the incumbent president who's going to face off against whoever can manage to get this nomination. Hey, Glenn, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thanks. So look, the president flies back from Hawaii, his vacation in Hawaii today, flies over Iowa, looks out the window of Air Force One to see the caucuses going on. And stays aloof from it, but then he's right back in the thick of electoral politics. We'll go back to the Republicans in a second. The Democrats, President Obama, have been laying out part of what they call their map to 270. That's 270 electoral votes. As the president flies over Iowa and lands at Andrews today, what is the White House saying they're going to do to knock down Mitt Romney or whoever's the nominee?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, the main thing that they say, well, it's not the White House that is saying it, because, of course, as you know, Todd, the White House has nothing to do with politics.
No, they don't. They never do politics ever. That would be illegal and wrong.
That would be wrong.
Yeah.
Essentially, the Obama campaign out of Chicago is run by Jim Messina, who is a field guy. He is a person who is known throughout the Democratic Party, even before he joined the administration, as being a person who can set up field operations. And as Messina has been telling everybody, I have an $800 million toy to play with in terms of a field operation. So the way that they've been looking at this is principally as a tabletop exercise. Almost, I don't want to use this as it's a terrible example, but it's the only one that pops in my head. It's almost like a disaster drill, right? Where you figure out which precincts to send your troops to, which former precinct captains to activate. Essentially, what they're trying to do is rouse their support from 4 years ago. And I did some reporting over the past couple of days. There's some question as to whether or not that's exactly the way for them to go right now. Romney, because he's surging a bit, is able to train less of his attention on Newt Gingrich, Rick Perry, even Santorum and Paul. even though he's clearly, you know, looking at them, and spend a lot of his time and media buys on attacking Barack Obama. And that's the real danger here for Obama in both states. This endless stream of invective and negativity against him really can shape perceptions for the general election. These guys have to push back on that.
They have to push back on it. Presidents also have the ability, because of the bully pulpit and the grandeur of the office, to try to stay aloof, just like flying over Iowa and rising above that. It's going to be interesting to see how the president and his campaign out of Chicago handle those withering attacks from Romney. But Glenn Thrush of Politico, you mentioned organization on the ground, precinct by precinct and ground game. Mitt Romney being decidedly in first place in Iowa over the last week is pretty remarkable. It was kind of a stealth. He's kind of like in a stealth lead now. I don't think a lot of people realized how organized he was.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of organization. Here's what the Democrats have been fearing for this entire process, as we've been focused on the various, I remember in 1988, because I'm old, they used to call them the Democratic candidates were the seven dwarfs. I can't count how many dwarfs we have in the Republican field. But as we were kind of focusing on these guys, the Democrats were afraid that Republicans were going to do what they always do, which is coalesce around the most electable candidate at the very end. And that appears to be, granted, a lot can change. 40% of these caucus goers haven't made up their mind yet, but that appears to be happening. And I was picking up a little bit of discomfort among New Hampshire Democrats, who, as you know, are very grizzled and have been through this drill quite a number of times, that the president hasn't been more, hasn't made a trip there more recently than late November. Going way back, people remember 1996 when Bill Clinton, about 2 weeks before Bob Dole and Pat Buchanan faced off in New Hampshire, did a two-day trip through the state, a really sort of in-your-face pushback effort. We're not seeing it out of this White House, and it could be because Obama's numbers at the moment are so dismal in New Hampshire.
And it may make sense for him to wait for those to rise a little bit. If they do, certainly his approval rating got above 50% for the first time in a couple of years, I guess. So maybe maybe Chicago is counting on those ratings getting a bit higher before the president drops into New Hampshire and Air Force One. Glenn Thrush, senior White House writer at Politico. Thanks, man.
Take care.
Iowa caucuses online tomorrow night, about 36 hours from now. People brave the cold if it's cold in Iowa and head out to caucus. We'll be covering it here on The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.